Rosemary with us, and Edith Bunn, the better half of Tim Bunn, who currently is on the front lines in Vietnam. And we need to pray for him. He comes back Wednesday. Is that correct? Yep. And he's doing well. He's going to have a birthday next month. So will Edith. We won't say how, which one. But not November, but December, rather. December.
It's 78.
78. 78. You know, from her mouth, not mine. But the way I remember it is that Tim is 10 years older than I am, so you kids can do the math. So, and we won't say how old Sherman is, so is it, but that's all right.
I quit counting.
But what's important is these men are still at it. They're still at it. And by God's grace, I want to be at it. And I'm going to share some opportunities with us, with you today. I'm not going to take a lot of Sherman's time, but I do have some preliminary remarks to share and some pictures to show you of how God is using the material of New Foundations International around the world. But I want to read from Acts 1, a very familiar passage. This is after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and he met with his followers for several days, 40 days to be exact, speaking about the kingdom of God. And he said as he was gathering with his disciples, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still so focused on Israel. These were Jews, and they still were focused on what God was going to do with Israel. And today, our eyes are centered on what is happening there in Israel. And I don't know if you're taking sides, but we need to know that God is working out his plan in this world. But God's plan is not just on the Middle East. God's plan is for the whole world. Because he goes on to say, Jesus answering them, here they're all focused on the kingdom to Israel, restoring the kingdom to Israel. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's God's plan. That's what he's working out. Christ's witness to the ends of the earth. And it's happening. And I just want to show you a few pictures that Tim has sent me just this year. These are just pictures from this year. I haven't gone back to other years, though I could have. But these are just pictures of the different countries, the different nations that New Foundations material is being used. And Sherman will have more to say, but we have God's plan for his disciples, God's plan for young disciples, and God's plan for his church in multiple languages. But I just wanted to show you, here they are in Cambodia. Okay, that's not necessarily a gospel-friendly country, but they're studying God's plan for his disciples in Cambodia. There's Ecuador. These folks here have graduated. They're all holding certificates. And if I'm not mistaken, Sherman, these are the Quechua.
Yes, they are.
Yes. Quechua Indians. And they've all finished God's plan for his disciples, and they have their certificates. These are children studying using God's plan for young disciples. And they're doing the exercises. Here you can see that they're making the, this is the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Children are using this around the world. Here's India. This is India. They're using the banners that we have. This is the banner of Paul's travels, his missionary travels. This is God's plan for his church. This is God's plan for his disciples. Just a summary of what the manuals are about. Then you have, actually, they're out in the field teaching it. Here's a lady using the materials, and she's teaching the material. Here is just from one of the most recent trips to India that Tim had the privilege of attending. Look at the manuals. Just look at that. They're serious about this. This is not just something that they've got in their church library or something that they attend once. This is a tool for making disciples, and they are serious about it. Then you have Vietnam. This actually is the Hmong. This is the Hmong, which I think is northern Vietnam, which is more dangerous and risky than South Vietnam. And Tim has just been there recently, and here's another group that he's been with. And there you can see our brother. And this is a brother Bai. This brother Bai is very instrumental, has been very instrumental now for years in taking this material throughout Vietnam. Because when Tim first went there, Tim and Sherman went there, they challenged them as to how many years has the gospel been in Vietnam? And everybody knew, oh, the gospel's been there for hundreds of years. And Tim would ask them, well, are there still unreached people groups there? Oh, yeah, there are still unreached people. Why? You've had the gospel hundreds of years, and there's still unreached people groups. So Brother Bai took up the challenge, and he is now trying to reach out to some of those unreached groups, and the Hmong are part of that. And then there's another brother there, Nam. He has a backpack company. He makes backpacks. In fact, I have that exact backpack right there. On the back, it says, "For God so loved the world." I can't take that everywhere I go, but I do like to take that with me. But he has a company, and he uses that for the glory of God. And Sherman, I don't know if you can help me. I couldn't figure out the languages that are here, but here are other brothers who are using the material in other countries.
Two brothers on the right are in Laos.
In Laos, okay. All right. And I'm not certain what this fella, who's this from, but Laos, okay. Again, not another exceptionally friendly nation. Now, here's an opportunity that we have, and I cannot mention the country, but I want you to see that we have another opportunity ourselves as a church. I've just recently been in touch with this brother. There's a brother here, I won't point him out, but in this country who wants the material. And I'm presenting the material or the opportunity to you. This is an opportunity that we have to bless this group of disciples who, when their pastor has gotten the material, he is really excited about getting it. So we want to propose that our church fund the printing of God's plan for his disciples so that they can have this material in their language. He is extremely excited about it. He sees it as a tool for maturing his people. And he also knows 200 other pastors, he said, who would benefit. So I want you to pray about that and ask the Lord to direct. So that's the end of my presentation. So let's pray and then we'll welcome Sherman. Our Heavenly Father, we do look to you for the furtherance of the gospel into all the world. That is your plan, for the gospel to go forth into all the world. And we pray that you would continue to use us, as small as we are. But we realize it's not by might, nor by power, nor by numbers, but it's by your Spirit that anything gets done. And we thank you, Father, that you have enabled us to be a part of taking the gospel into all the world, of making disciples from among the nations. And we pray that that would continue. And Lord, now bless our brother Sherman as he comes and makes his presentation and challenge to us. And Lord, open our hearts and move among us as you would see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Sherman's going to come. If you'll pull up his presentation, here we go. He's going to talk about God's current work. On. Yeah, you got it.
All right. It's great to be with you again. As I walked into this room, I realized that this is a place where we have often gathered for prayer. And sent Tim Bunn and others off. And I'm very thankful to be here again. Sadly, Terry did not share with me the scripture he was going to use, so we're going to have a little bit of a duplication here.
Okay.
But I don't think there's really a problem with that. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories before I get to the scripture. How many of you, is there any kids here that are around 11 years old? All right, great. I want you to listen up. The man or the father on the right had no education, couldn't read or write. The mother on the left only had a third grade education. The daughter, 11 years old, took the Leo book, and by the way, we have this now in 33 languages. She took the book, she read all the questions and the scriptures to her mother and father, and wrote down the answer that they gave to her. So she went through the whole book for her mother and father. you think about what she learned at 11 years old as she went through the scriptures and the questions. Just think about that. Here is a lady in northern Vietnam. The class had come together, and there were a certain number of these books in the Hmong language, and there was not enough for her. She took one of the books and got a notebook from the store, wrote down the whole book by hand, plus answered the questions. My question to you is, how serious are you and me about the study of God's Word? That takes hours and hours of dedication and commitment to make sure that they were learning from the scriptures the truth of God's Word. Here's a young man in North Vietnam, also a Hmong believer. His group had gone through the Hmong GPhD, and when they were finished and had the graduation, he dedicated his life to serve the Lord, as Paul did. Think about the costs to be in a country where even survival is difficult. And yet he is willing to give his life to serve the Lord. Here's a graduation in North Vietnam. And there's somebody in the middle there you might recognize. These dear Hmong believers have all graduated. They've all gone through the book, and they are ready to share what they have learned with others. This is a tribal group that graduated in the mountains of South Vietnam, and the way that they celebrated their graduation was in worship. How much it meant to them to be able to go through God's Word, learn the basics, the fundamentals of our faith, and then to end that time in graduation, receiving a certificate, and then in worship. What if? What if? What if you and I were in these places and we had nothing to offer except time? The problem we have today is that we're very distracted. We've got lots of distractions. If I go like this, you know what I mean? Huh? I was talking to someone, or we were talking to someone the other evening regarding a young man who has a wife and two children. And he is so distracted, he can't even function in doing the normal things of life. I want you to think for a moment, how is your life regulated by the Spirit of God? How many distractions do you have, that I have, that could be taken away? All right. Since we're in Acts 1, let's stay there. If you're not there, let's get to Acts 1. And I'm going to start in at verse 3. And let's go through some verses here to kind of get the context. Jesus, that is, he presented himself alive to them after he suffered by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me." He's referring back to John 14, 15 and 16. "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not yours for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem." I'm going to give you the Greek translation of these words here. "You'll be my witnesses both and in Jerusalem, both and in Judea, both and in Samaria, both and to the ends of the earth." Kind of tuck that away in your mind for a moment. These disciples, there were 11. Judas is gone. And they're with Jesus for these 40 days. Remember that he had left them with plenty of information. If we go back to chapter 13 of John, where he washed their feet, told them that they were to do the same thing in serving others, in loving each other. Then in chapter 14, he introduces the coming of the Holy Spirit, who will be with them forever to dwell in them. And then he enlarges on that by saying in verse 26 that the Holy Spirit would teach them all things. Then he goes on to show that persecution is going to come, and they will need to remember that he has suffered before they have suffered, and so on. Those moments were interrupted by Jesus being arrested, taken to trial, a false trial, and then crucified. After his resurrection, or I should say before that, after he's crucified, some of the disciples decide, "Well, it's all over. I think I'll go back to my business, fishing." And so when Mary comes to the tomb on the third morning and the body isn't there, she is visibly disturbed. What is it? What was it? What happened? Why was it that they had so quickly forgotten the reminder over and over and over again that I'm going to rise again? You know, this is so much like me, us. We get information, we come here every Sunday, at least I hope you do, and we hear the word spoken. I can guarantee you that my words will be quickly forgotten. You'll pass through that door, and it's lunchtime. What is going to make a difference? What if? What if the words of Jesus that he has spoken to us really make a difference? You know, if you go back to Ezekiel 39:29, God had prophesied through Ezekiel, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants, in those days I'll pour out my spirit." Joel 2:28-29. What a critical moment that was for Israel. They could have remembered what the prophet said, but they forgot. Even the disciples forgot. They forgot the impact that those words would have on the future of Israel. So Jesus says to the 11, "You stay right here in Jerusalem. You wait. Don't be in a hurry." And so they took those 10 days. What would ever happen if FBC took 10 days out of your schedule just to pray? I can guarantee you that whether it's FBC or any church, there would be things happen that you can't even imagine. If our prayer was, "Would you do something in me?" You see, the problem is with our prayer meetings is that we come and we pray for our agendas. We ask God to take what we have planned and put it into action. What if we came with a blank slate and said, "God, would you do something in my life? Would you do something with this church that we have never seen happen before? We want our lives to be absolutely dedicated to the plan and purpose of God." But the problem is, we're not willing to wait. We come to prayer times . You know what happens? "Oh, I gotta go." The discipline of waiting on God is so rare. We don't like silence. You know, I just appreciate so much the disciples willing to wait, because they realized that there was a disconnect between what Jesus had told them for, I don't know how many hours they would have been together from the time that they gathered in that upper room and they celebrated the Passover, which became the Lord's Supper, and then Jesus then begins to instruct them as to what will happen. They also forgot John 14:26, where Jesus says to them regarding the Holy Spirit that he will teach them all things. I've often wondered what it's like, and I can't say I understand this, what is it like to be taught by the Holy Spirit? You know, we pull commentaries, we pull books from this author and that author, and we'd try and put something together. What does it look like to sit and say, Holy Spirit, would you teach me? And then our minds are racing toward the next thing that we have to do. We have a mental to-do list, don't we? It's either work, it's things in the yard, it's things in the kitchen, it's laundry, it's phone calls. We're so distracted. And I'm speaking from experience. I hear my computer or my phone ding, and all of a sudden I grab it to see who's trying to get a hold of me. Usually it's Tim Bunn. No. But isn't that true that we're so tied to the world's emergencies, or what we think are the emergencies of the world? What if God would work in your heart and mind this morning? What if we really developed a habit of saying, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me right now? And don't leave until you've heard. The mind of the disciples, as Terry said, immediately ran to all the prophetic scriptures that these things would happen. In fact, Jesus said to them in Luke 22, you are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assigned to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom. Wow. We're going to have a new order. I'm sure there's many believers who would like to have a new order in America. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual order that is going to come and dominate the world. But it won't come. It won't come, listen carefully, until Matthew 24:14 is fulfilled. Now, I'm not going to read it to you. I'm going to let you discover for yourself. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24:14? So we come to this amazing moment that they have waited, even though their minds were running toward prophecy. Their minds were running, and Jesus has to remind them that it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. I don't want to discredit for one moment prophecy. There are many prophecies regarding Israel. And there's many who are very occupied right now with how the current events are going to impact the end times. There's nothing wrong with that, but you know what it does is it distracts the mind and heart so that you get other priorities that are not the Lord's priority. Your priority, my priority, is that we're doing what God left us here to do. Does my compassion, my care for those who are hurting in Israel any less? No, of course not. But that is not my focus. My focus is that God has left us here with incredible resources. He says, but you will receive what? And verse 8.
Power.
What kind of power? Are we going to have power in Washington, D.C.? Or Raleigh, North Carolina? No. Thank you for that answer. The power is going to be right here in your heart and mind. This may not apply to you. It probably doesn't. But I believe the church in general has not really understood the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We know what he can do. We've seen him in action. Your very conversion is evidence of the Holy Spirit. But there's a whole lot more than that. The action of the Holy Spirit is that we will be empowered by him to be his witnesses. Now, he didn't say, I will empower you to build more church buildings and feed more poor and build more hospitals. There's nothing wrong with those things, but that was not the reason we're left here. We're left here with the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses of who? Of what? Christ himself, the gospel. So Jesus is reminding them that, in fact, let me give you a quote from Luke 24, verse 45 and on. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and the third day be raised from the dead. See, there was another reminder. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning. All right, two things. The word nations. What does it mean? Does it mean countries? No. No, it doesn't. It means, the word actually is ethnos, meaning people groups. There are over 7,000 people groups around the world where the gospel still has to be preached. In India alone, there's over 1,000. Do you think there's any people groups in America that haven't heard? Oh, yeah. And by the way, some of the people groups from other places who've never heard are right here in America. What a reminder to us that the idea of witnessing is not just overseas. It begins right here. It begins in your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace. It begins right here. Oswald Chambers made the comment. He said, if you can't go to the other nations, at least pray for them. Or give to someone who can go. The opportunities are without limit, and the end will not come until every single people group have heard the gospel. When Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, was that just people groups? Was that just geographic? No, it wasn't. Because those were only representative of the area around Jerusalem. The ends of the earth is everywhere. What about the Eskimo way up near the North Pole? What about those in the islands near the Antarctic? There is so many opportunities, and God wants to empower us by His Spirit to go and preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've read the book of Acts many, many times, and every time I do, I marvel at what the Spirit did in those days. I want to read you a few quotes just from the book of Acts, and I want you to think about what God did. Remember, too, that the church in Jerusalem was stuck for about 7 years. Until you get to chapter 8, when persecution forces the church out of Jerusalem, and you get men like Philip who go down to Ethiopia. What did he do? He preached the gospel to some important guy that was in a chariot. God often will force His work through circumstances that we're not counting on. Listen to these quotes. So though this is Acts 2:41, so those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. One day. Chapter 2, verse 46 to 47, and day by day attending the temple together, they broke bread in their homes and received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. So you have 3,000 in verse 41, and then He's adding to that number in verse 47. I don't know how many were in that number. Does it matter? No. There's no accounting, well, we got these, this number saved this day and this. No. Did they get a building committee together to build a bigger church? No. How about to Acts 4:33? And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Chapter 6, verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Remember now, is we haven't got to chapter 8 yet, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Acts 12, now this is after chapter 8, verse 24, but the word of God increased and multiplied. Now we're getting into exponential words here. Now, you guys who are good with math, if you have an exponent on top of a number, what happens? It multiplies greatly, doesn't it? All right, a little bit of math there here. All right, chapter 19, verse 20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. See what the Spirit is doing? May I ask you, what if your thoughts and mine were on what God could do through you by the Holy Spirit? You see, you can't put limits on what God will do. And I have, my watch tells me I gotta quit. But hold on, we're not done. What was one of the phrases in that last song? Move us into action. Move us into action. Now, we all sang that, I assume. Did we move it? Did we mean to sing that with our heart? God is wanting to do a mighty work through Fellowship Bible Church. And I'm asking you, what if? What if we surrendered ourselves to the Holy Spirit? Not dictating what He'll do, but just submitting to His will. Father, we come to you at this moment asking that your words would impact our hearts. What if we let you work in our hearts right now, today, to accomplish what you have already planned that you would do, and you're inviting us to be part of what you're doing. Father, I pray that we would not raise excuses. I pray that we'll not think of all the things that might happen if we surrender. I pray that you would give us willing hearts to let you work in your way, in your time, right now. May you be glorified in this place. Not for any recognition of ourselves, but rather that the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord, might be exalted. I think of the psalmist who says, I will be exalted among the nations. May that happen because we are willing to submit to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Greatly appreciate those words. And I'm wondering if an appropriate action would be for us. Would you agree, I'm not asking you to donate anything, would you agree that it would be appropriate for us to fund the printing of 500 copies of God's plan for His disciples in that nation that I can't tell you of? Would you agree that God's not done working in this world? That there is more of His field that we could get to partner with others? Because our goal is not to go there and remain, but to go there and train so that those who already know the language and the culture can reach their own. And that is happening around the world. And I thank God that you are willing to be a part of that. You have demonstrated that over and over again. So we're going to sing this last song because it does tell us and remind us that God's plan is for His word to go into all the world. So let's stand as we sing by faith.
Thank you. we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lights of